Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. What a crazy weekend with the storms and delays. Had my own camping experience go south. You can hear that if you go to southboundsports.com and sign up for the Patreon. You can see the full live video posted there. I didn't have as bad a week as Aaron Rodgers, though. I'm just going to hop right into it because I'm pretty tired still. Don't know how long I'll make it. We'll see if we can get to an hour or close to it. But Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles on, I think, what, the first play?
Four plays in.
I know it was the first drive. I was kind of like dozing off. Once he got injured, though, it like perked me up because I thought this could be a game. Plus, Breece Hall, I had him on my bench because I didn't think, is he even going to play that much? They have Cook. They're probably going to platoon him or whatever. Hall was like, he looked dynamite out there. He was the only player on the Jets that seemed like he was moving on that offense. Even while Aaron Rodgers was in there, I think he had the first like 27-yard run or something to start the game off. So I don't know how the Jets are going to go. I feel bad for their fans. Long-time listeners of the show know that I own a share of the Packers, so I wasn't sad to see Aaron Rodgers go, right? I thought it was time. I was preaching all weekend, Matt, at the campsite about how Jordan Love looks more comfortable in the Packers offense. Everyone's calling me like, oh, you're gonna be sad when the Packers go like 3-whatever. They're going to lose to the Bears this weekend. No. Jordan Love looked good, like I said.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you actually run the offense, because he's getting the ball out quick. Yeah, there were a good bit of incompletions. He was over 50%. That's the one thing that I wish he would have cleaned up. But he was taking deep shots. So it wasn't like, because you could see the tale of two quarterbacks with Zach Wilson, which is why I brought Jordan Love into this. Zach Wilson, he's been in the league for a couple years. Only dink and dunks, right? I thought I was watching Ohio State for a second. I kind of blacked out. Because they're just dinking and dunking. And no deep shots. The offense, if Breece Hall didn't break off long runs, who knows if they would have even scored, right? Because he brought the run. Then I think Cook had a big run. The same drive to get them down, right next to the goal line. Before he threw that pass that Garrett Wilson, tipped up to himself. That was, a 3-yard pass, 4-yard pass. So it wasn't like they were trying to stretch the defense. And I know Zach Wilson could hit the deep throws. So I'm kind of surprised that they don't try to get the ball deep. Because Aaron Rodgers, he did the same exact thing. Takes a super long, let me roll out here. I'm going to kind of just improvise, not running the offense that I've seen him run with the Packers all last year. And I know people were like, oh, he's MVP and all this stuff. But at some point, the offense is going to break down. That's why Aaron has been he hasn't made the jump in the playoffs for the Packers in over a decade. Because when they face an actual good defense, you're going to have to face in the playoffs, improvising doesn't get it done. Unless you're John Elway helicoptering because you need that first down, it's not going to happen. And Aaron Rodgers is old. So he got hurt, and I'm like, he's done. I thought it was an Achilles. When they said, oh, his ankle x-rays were negative, but he's not coming back, I knew he was done for the year. I think that's what it was, right? That's what they said it was, an Achilles?
Yeah.
Because his ankle, bent. And, we always joke about, starting to get old, you need to, stretch and do all this stuff. Because, one wrong turn, and you're limping for, 3 weeks. Now, these guys, all they're doing is, stretching and getting ready. But if someone lands on you or whatever, you can't help it. That tendon's gone, right? You got to be careful, bowling and stuff once you get to a certain part.
That's going to be a hard recovery now for him.
I know. I wonder if he's done for his career. Right? That's almost like a career killer.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing, too, is that that was tied to Green Bay. They were going to potentially get a first-round pick out of the trade if he played more than like 65% of the snaps, and clearly he's not getting that now.
I know, I remember that, and I thought, well, this is an easy decision. There's no way they're benching him, right? But then he got injured. Oh man, and that, like, that's a big key thing, because like we've had people complain in our fantasy league, like, oh, Garrett Wilson, he was a keeper. Now he has Aaron Rodgers thrown to him. Like, that's kind of unfair. It's like, not so fast, my friend. He has Zach Wilson thrown to him again. Now we don't know how he's going to be, right? He had the one touchdown, but like, it wasn't like he was lighting it up because they weren't taking any deep shots. I guess in a PPR league like ours, it doesn't matter if he has 30 catches for 5 yards, as long as he's making the catches. But what a blow to New York football. The Cowboys killed the Giants. It was almost like, because I was thinking, I was arguing people over the weekend, like, would you rather have had Daniel Jones than Jordan Love? And everyone's like, oh yeah, definitely, for sure. Like, why? You, why? What has he done? And I forgot that he even had a, what, did he have a playoff win last year? I forgot all about that till I watched the game and they were like talking about his highlights and how this is a gigantic win for Dallas. And then Prescott didn't do anything. He's my fantasy QB. He did nothing. It was all the Cowboys defense. So it's kind of like Cowboys defense was awesome. The Jets defense was awesome. And I was skeptical of them, even in our league, because I put them up trying to sneak the Jets defense in. With Rodgers' injury, I'm glad I didn't, because I don't think that performance is going to like be replicated, right? Now, other teams are going to make adjustments. They're going to make adjustments saying, like, we just need to keep play ball control ourselves, right? I don't know what the hell Josh Allen was doing. It was almost like a career owner or career ruiner, don't you think?
Well, I hope not, because he's one of the poles of my fantasy team.
I know.
I'm hoping that he recovers.
It was weird. It was like he kept forcing the ball in, and on the sideline, it looked like he was almost ready to cry.
But I think that's one of those, like, overall, I didn't. They started off okay, but I think it was one of those, like, the injury to Rodgers, and I think maybe in his mind it was a scenario of go for the dagger and just really bury him. Because the first half, he didn't play terrible. And then it's like you throw an interception and you think, oh, I'll get that one back. I'll make it up on the next throw. And then you hit another interception. It's like, I'm going to get us back in this. I'm going to just keep slinging. And it's like another one. Oh, another fumble. And just negative spiral, negative spiral. Instead of just shaking it off and just playing the next play and just being smart with the ball.
Which, did you see the Peyton Manning cut in? It made me laugh so hard. It was like, hey, Peyton, what do you think of this game? He's like, well, now with Aaron Rodgers out, the Jets have no chance. All they should start doing is just running the clock out and hope this doesn't turn into a blowout. It was like watching the NBC replay guys just getting it wrong, but yet they're so confident. It's like, turn over to the Manning cast to hear more of my incorrect predictions. It's like, how disrespectful to the other guys on the Jets. Like, you know, they have a great defense. That was one of the things that hyped them up. I just assumed that the fantasy wouldn't really work out because of Aaron Rodgers' style, right? Throwing the ball up, getting into like some shootouts randomly. Like, that's a bad, bad position to risk your fantasy team on if you can get like some negative points from your defense. But it doesn't matter now. But Peyton Manning was so sure of himself. Oh, yeah, they're done. The Bills are going to really kill him here. And then they won. So, I wonder what he was thinking. Like, who is he giving credit to? Because he can't give credit to Aaron Rodgers, right? Is he going to give credit to Zach Wilson? Is he going to give credit to Breece Hall? Who? Like, I get you're a quarterback guy, but come on. At least be semi-impartial. It's like all the media guys love Aaron Rodgers, and it, at least from the first game so far, the Packers look light years ahead of where they were at the start of last year. They started off so bad with Aaron Rodgers, and it was pretty clear why. He didn't show up to practice. This year, he showed up to practice with the Jets, and then he gets hurt. So maybe it's karma coming back for him. I don't know. Like, I don't know. You can't be a jerk. I don't know why all the media guys like love Aaron Rodgers and like his stats or whatever, But his career ends, to me, as a worse quarterback than even Eli Manning. Because at some point, you have to be able to be a leader of the team. And multiple Super Bowls and the long-term success, like even in a place like New York with Eli and Ben Roethlisberger at Pittsburgh, in terms of career, they're better to me. Nothing anyone says, I don't care about MVPs. I don't care about MVPs at all. That's pretty much just like a vanity award, right? I don't care. I couldn't even name any other MVPs. I didn't even know Aaron Rodgers had won two MVPs late in his career until people were telling me when I was arguing about Jordan Love. And I was like, I don't care. Just like the Heisman. How many people win the Heisman that don't deserve it, right? Because like you still hear about all these quarterbacks like Caleb Williams. He could win back-to-back. He could be a shoo-in. To me, it's Travis Hunter. And we'll get into the college. Like, it's his to lose. Because without him, Colorado wouldn't be winning. And I don't care about the rest, right? It's supposed to be about the best player. If Colorado ends up with 8-4 record, like, I think Desmond, the year he won at Michigan, was like, I think we had a couple ties or something. We might have been like 9-1-3 or something like that. Something weird, maybe. I don't even know. But it wasn't like they were undefeated and playing for the national championship. But Desmond had so many touchdowns that you had to give it to him. And so I think that's kind of where Travis Hunter is. Like, they predicted two wins for them. Like, their prediction for Colorado was anywhere between, like, one win and four wins. No one expected them to go bowling. So to hear, like, people on ESPN circle back and they're like, oh, Colorado, yeah, we predict them for six wins. It's like, no, you didn't. Shut the hell up. You didn't. Just like you predicted the Jets to lose to the Bills. Like, just shut up. No one cares about Aaron Rodgers anymore. It's clear that, yeah, he was trying to do things right the last way because he didn't want his legacy to end like that. And now that's how people are going to remember him. They're going to look back and say, oh, yeah, remember his late career? Yeah, he really sucked ass because he didn't, like, show up at practice or with the new rookies or whoever he was bringing in. Because someone was telling me, my buddy was telling me, oh, Packers don't have any receivers. I was like, they're all in their second year, and they started slow because Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to camp. So it's not like it's not that they don't have any receivers. It's just that no one knows how good they are because Aaron Rodgers took the first half of the season off last year. So come on. I honestly just can't feel bad. Right? Yeah, you got hurt. Bummer.
Well, but one of the comments that cracked me up about that was like, is Aaron Rodgers going to just like go into a cave with some random herbs to try to heal his Achilles, or is he actually going to go to a medical professional?
I know that's what they said. They're like, maybe they're waiting for Joe Rogan to get there and give him advice if he can return to the game or not after the X-rays. I can't even listen to Joe Rogan or anything, but I get it. It's like, hey, you're going to be outspoken. You're going to be weird. To me, it's a thing of like, they're paying you. You're complaining about wide receivers for years as the Packers. They bring in a bunch of talent, and then you don't show up to work with them. So what do you expect? It's kind of like when Ben Roethlisberger, he was kind of doing that, remember? Like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to work with the team. I'm going to kind of just do my own workouts. And then they started to draft other quarterbacks to replace him, and then he was, like, real bitter about it, too. He's like, well, it's not my job to teach these guys how to play. It's like, thanks, Ben. Great work. But Ben has two Super Bowls to Aaron Rodgers' one. And did Aaron Rodgers even play in another one? Like, Ben played in, what, three? They lost one, didn't they? They lost to the Packers, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he played in three. Aaron Rodgers, I think, only played in one. So there's no doubt in my mind that Ben Roethlisberger had a better career than Aaron Rodgers. Now, Eli, I still think two Super Bowls. Plus, he beat my man Tom Brady. Did you see him ringing that bell? Did you watch it?
No.
You need two TVs, dude. I've been telling you. I had my buddy come over, showed him the two TVs. He was loving it. Didn't even know you can get football over the antenna. I'm telling you, you can watch any game over the antenna. I'm like, what do you get two games, man? Typically. And they added Monday Night Football to ESPN Plus. Which is one of the only saving graces for ESPN Plus, because otherwise I was thinking, like, why do I have this? There's absolutely nothing on it, and they're raising the price again. Great work, ESPN. Raising the price again, and they're supposed to be bailing out the NBA. Did you see that? So the NBA, as they're losing money, SEC is asking for more money. We haven't got a commitment from ESPN if they're going to try to match, like, or get the SEC close to the Big Ten number. Because all their games, like that big Texas and Bama game, only on ESPN. I think people are arguing with me on this, but I honestly think that the lack of exposure, putting all the SEC games on ESPN, is going to kill their recruiting. You can argue me and say that I'm wrong, but the Big Ten games are on major networks now, and people are watching Rutgers and Northwestern. And what game was on? Michigan played UNLV on CBS at 3:30. Iowa played Iowa State on Fox, I think, at 3:30 maybe. And meanwhile, Texas and Alabama are buried on ESPN. That's going to hurt recruiting, man. The ratings might not have fallen yet, but ESPN's bleeding subscribers. And when the SEC's really kicked in, they're supposed to drop to like 50 million. Those numbers are, I think, are just going to continue to get worse. But that's where, like, now the NBA is using the NFL as a model. I don't know if you saw this. I had a lot of time to read articles I had saved over the weekend, as there was like nothing going on and I had no service. But the NBA is trying to get out of their bad salary cap deal with these players, because a lot of teams like sign poor players for ridiculous contracts. So their idea is to try to get $40 million more dollars per team through the next television contract. They want to get close to the same number that the NFL gets. Personally, how? Like, that's insanity. The NBA doesn't get anywhere near the ratings that the NFL gets, right? Like, if ESPN pays the NBA the same that what the NFL gets, then they're going to lose their business. There's no way that they're going to be able to make that up. You just can't. Even the NBA Finals ratings are down so low that, like, the NCAA tournament gets more ratings. Like, that's not a joke. That's a fact. And they were using the NCAA tournament as a reason why the NBA wants ESPN to extend their rights. They don't want to have to bring in like other networks, because they said that switching channels like the NFL's TV deal gets confusing for fans. Really? You have the internet. You can just look up, go on NFL.com, and tells you what channel the games are on. It's either Fox or CBS, right? The only one that gets confusing is Thursday night games on what, Amazon or whatever now, and then Monday on ESPN. Everything else you can just buy an antenna for, and you can get your Sunday games, your local games or whatever. Yeah, it kind of stinks. Like, if you want to watch like the Carolina Panthers, whenever Carolina's on, if I wanted to watch like the Steelers or something, and they're on the same channel, then I'm gonna be stuck with the Panthers. But is that worth it to pay for like YouTube TV or something? Maybe if the NFL Plus or whatever that new app they have, NFL TV ticket, Sunday ticket, if you could pay for that separately instead of having to pay for YouTube TV, I could do that. But on all the big games I was able to watch this weekend, I think. Or at least all the games I wanted to watch. Bears and Packers were on TV. I didn't get to see the Bengals implode. Did you get to see that one?
No.
I don't know what the heck's up. They said Joe Burrow looked scared out there. Couldn't have been worse than Josh Allen to me, but who knows, right? And some of these quarterbacks, this is the turn where you take over. Aaron Rodgers has just ended. That era is done. Ben's gone. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Matt Stafford, he's still playing, right? He has to be close to being gone.
But one of the things that they brought up on the broadcast last night was that with Josh Allen, there was a lot of plays that he made running. And even, like, he's running toward the sideline and just lowers his helmet and just, like, barrel rolls the defense for an extra yard or two. I think that's something, too, that probably contributed to his interceptions, is that if he's trying to stay in the pocket and force throws instead of just running and taking what the defense has given him, that can come back to bite him too, that they're like, oh, well, he's scrambling too much. He needs to just set up and throw. Sometimes, like, I think back to, like, how Cordell Stewart did it when he was playing all the different positions, and he, like, announced, I'm just a quarterback, and then tried to be turned into a pocket passer, and that's when he really started the struggle.
Well, that's where he needed to just be smart about it. Like, learn to throw the ball away. Why are you getting an extra yard? Who cares about that? If you need to move around the pocket, throw the ball. Because, like, Cam Newton was still able to do that, right? He just wasn't as accurate. If Josh Allen can be a better Cam Newton, they don't need you to run, right? But you need to be mobile enough to make plays. But, like, don't fight for an extra yard, because then you're going to get beat up. And that's what I'm worried. Like, he's starting to take hits. So it's week one. He's going to be sore, beat up, going to be like, well, I'm not going to take a hit. I'm just going to force a throw instead. And then next thing you know, he has like 8 interceptions. It's week four, right? So, like, he can't let this game haunt him, because there are a lot of young quarterbacks now that you're supposed to be stepping up. It can't just be Mahomes. Because, like, even Herbert's in the commercials now. It's like, all right. Like, what are you doing with the Chargers? Come on, you got to start stepping it up. I know they were in the shootout with the Dolphins or whatever. But win in the playoffs, man. Otherwise, no one's going to even recognize you. But casual fans only know quarterbacks that are successful in the playoffs. They're not watching, like, Thursday night football games, man. That's why there's a big jump. That's why, going back to, like, the NBA thing, like, it's insanity when they average, like, 1 million people per game, close to what Major League Baseball numbers are. And they were saying, like, well, NBA has more games. Well, baseball has more games. So, and they were like, well, internationally, we might be able to make that number up internationally. Is ESPN even an international channel? I don't think so. I mean, I think NBC plays, like, international soccer, but
have ESPN Deportes.
Yeah, but that's just the United States one. It's like Univision or whatever that other channel is. But yeah, like, NBC does international soccer. I don't think that they're broadcasting it in England. Like, I don't think the NBC just, like, popped up and, like, hey, we're a channel here now. You guys like Big Ten football? Yeah. Which, that would be funny. Because honestly, when they're trying to get people to interested in football, college football would give them a lot more options than just forcing the NFL, right? Because it's more of like a, hey, that's like a club amateur thing. Yeah, we might want to watch that. It's on TV. And then kind of like, oh, that's kind of like rugby. And then they can have their colleges, because, like, they have universities too. If their universities start to pick it up, then the NFL would have a better pathway, right? Maybe if the NFL ended up buying, like, TV rights to college football, and then they made that international, that would be the way to go. But, like, to me, basketball is not going to take over soccer. That would take a miracle. The United States couldn't even win the international soccer or basketball tournament. Didn't they lose this past weekend to, like, Serbia or something?
Germany.
Was it? I mean, I couldn't watch it, but I heard people were telling me about it, and I was like, not surprised at all by it. Not surprised at all. But NFL stuff, first week predictions on the season, what do you got? Who do you think is going to go all the way?
I don't know.
Lions beat the Chiefs. Kelce, could it be his downfall? He didn't play, did he?
No, I think he was just relaxing.
Well, they said his knee was hurt. I heard people say he had an injured ACL, but then it's like he still might play on it. I'm like, it's week one, buddy. Rest up.
That's not a good idea. Actually, I like the comment from Bakhtiari. He was like, NFL, why are we still playing on turf? They're trying to resurface everything in grass for the World Cup. He's like, because they know grass is the better playing surface. Why are we doing this?
I know. I mean, it's just basically probably for cost. Yeah, it's a big upfront cost, but then for grass, like, you have to create it, bring it in, right? They roll it up. Don't they usually roll it out? I don't know. I feel like I've seen that before.
Well, Arizona did that where they were like bringing it in and out.
And then it was slippy, right? Because it was like not set.
Yeah.
But then if you don't have it, then it has to be built kind of like on a hill for the rain to run off. Although it's kind of like indoor a lot of these. So I don't even know how they would do it, right? I guess they would have their own irrigation things built in. Like, wasn't there that one commercial where like the sprinklers popped up and tripped that guy? I'll be the guy that triggers the sprinklers try to trip the opposing team. It's like, tripped again? Oh, dang, I didn't mean to do that, NFL. Like, what would they even do? Penalize the sprinkler guy? Could you imagine if it like showed a picture of me in the booth and I got a 15-yard penalty? I'm like hiding my face. Wearing like a Packers, like a whole Packers suit, like all outfit and everything. And they're like, the Packers guy keeps bringing the sprinklers up. What's he thinking out there? It's like, sorry. Oh, he just blew out Derrick Henry's knee. Like, oh, crap. Sorry, my man. I had you on fantasy 1 year. We had a good run. I didn't know that was you. But Falcons look better than I thought. I thought you were going to give me shit on that.
It's a little bit early. It's a little bit early. Bijan had a good opening rookie game.
But the Panthers aren't good. We knew the Panthers weren't going to be good.
I didn't want to bank on that just yet.
I saw like some stupid coaching calls and I was like, well, this is what they get. Not hiring like an outside the box coach. Plus, even Matt Rhule, like I heard he was out coached by Dion. And so maybe he's not a good coach. Maybe he lost it after Baylor. Maybe he should have just stayed at Baylor and been like the Art Briles replacement, right?
Well, I watched that game and I've never seen officials just, or not officials, but commentators rip a quarterback as bad as they rip Sims. They were just like, the defense is playing well. Their quarterback just stinks. They need to get somebody in there that can move the ball.
Is that Nebraska's QB?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he stays in there for Michigan then.
He was the transfer from Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I remember him. He actually didn't look too bad. He ran the first game, but he wasn't like passing too good. So then I wasn't 100% sure on like how he's doing. Is he like actually good? I don't know 100% because like, I thought Georgia Tech still might have been running the triple option. Are they not doing that? You would know.
Look, he was recruited after the fact, but he was also recruited by Florida State during the train wreck period. So take that for what it's worth.
So what you're saying is you already had ill feelings towards him anyway.
No, I had no ill feelings.
Because, like, I mean, looking at the guys coming in and the recruiting and stuff and transfers, you have to kind of do the transfers. But I look back at our video. We called it. I knew we had a video that I had cut up from one of our segments we did on the show where we both said, like, Dion's going to be able to turn this around faster than what people think because he's bringing in top talent at the skill positions. And it's not going to matter. Like, it's harder for Matt Rhule. Nebraska's coming in. They have a great defense. Defense gets tired and tired because the offense can't do anything. He's the offensive coach. He's supposed to be an offensive whiz. They were saying that he could replace James Franklin at Penn State one day and take them to the top. You're not leaving Nebraska to go to Penn State. That's kind of like a parallel move, I would think. If you can't bring Nebraska back, Penn State's not going to want you. Right? So this is kind of like his descent. He's going to either pull a Scott Frost and nobody's going to want him, or he's going to be able to turn it around in like 3 years and then everybody's going to want him. But Nebraska, in theory, should be one of the top programs in terms of like even NIL stuff and getting stuff done. That's why I was really concerned, or not really concerned, but I was really surprised that the ACC let SMU in, because SMU is like, hey, yeah, we don't need the money. And that should have been just a bunch of red flags like, oh, crap, these guys have the donors ready to go. They're going to start firing the money canning at everybody like it's 1980, right? But instead, they're like, let's vote them in anyway. Like, randomly, I don't even know how they got tied to Stanford and Cal. But, like, because I keep thinking back, like, why? Why did SMU get thrown in there? That's not even like a shorter trip for Stanford. And like if they're in like Oregon or something, that would make sense. Like, hey, we need one more travel partner. They're in Texas. There's no other ACC school in Texas. So for them to just be like, SMU, you're in. Like, it had to have just been their donors being like, look, this is our pile of money. We're going to throw it on the table here. You guys can look at it. And if other teams leave, we still have this pile of money here. But like that could, if Florida State doesn't get out of that conference, you don't want to be in a conference where one school is outspending everybody. That's insane. That's like what happened with the SEC now. Because like Nick Saban, when they played Texas, that was his first, double-digit loss at home. Texas is able to get there because Alabama, they said, someone did a chart. I couldn't find it, the entire chart, because I couldn't download it because I didn't have service. But they had said that like typically the 4- and 5-star line recruits that Alabama has been getting, A&M's been plucking them with NIL money. Then A&M doesn't develop them. So Alabama, instead of having a 5-star line, now their line's like, 4-star, 3-star. And that makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
So having A&M come in and waste talent is really hurting some of the SEC schools that were kind of head and shoulders above. And now you're letting other teams like Michigan, they're able to play heavy line. Penn State's line looks good. And I know they're really not crossing over with SEC schools right now. But the two schools that they said were hurt the most by A&M spending were Ohio State and Alabama. And based on recent history, I would have to agree. Because Michigan's line just decimated Ohio State's line the past 2 years. On offense and defense, right? Ohio State still has all the talent. But yeah, you could bring in talent, kind of like Colorado. Bring in the skill players. Are you going to win a lot of games? Yes. Could you win a championship? Yeah, you could. But if you're going to push around on the lines, then that's going to hurt you whenever you're trying to win and like go undefeated. You're going to have a tougher time winning every game. That's where Ohio State finds itself now. That's where Alabama finds itself now. To the point where I was saying Alabama's QB didn't look like their typical QB. He reminded me of like a Cardale Jones. People were laughing at me. Oh, you're gonna be sorry whenever he's first in Heisman voting after this week when they crushed Texas. And guess what? He played like Cardale Jones, but Cardale Jones actually won games, you know. So maybe I was a little, maybe I felt bad for my man Cardale from the XFL, right? I was a little hard on him, comparing him to the Alabama QB. But that's kind of where you're at. You're gonna be able to run the ball and run over all these like smaller schools. Awesome. Texas is in the smaller school. Texas is able to buy 5-star linemen, right? So if you can buy them, you can win. And the SEC just said, hey, A&M and Texas, you're in the conference. Are we making as much money as the Big Ten? No. A&M and Texas say, that's no big thing. We can still spend more. And they're doing it.
Well, and you figure with both of those schools, they were in the Big 12, they were pretty much being self-sufficient anyway. Like they just had the Longhorn Network, but it was like they kind of hitched their. I almost look at the way that the Big 12 handled it with thinking, well, Texas is going to carry the mail for us, is almost what Florida State's, I think, looking to do in the ACC, because they're the team that has typically been there. I mean, there's been these couple blips with Clemson recently, but I mean, Clemson's already lost to Duke. They struggled early in their game before they blew out the school of the blind that they played. I think this is going to be the farewell tour for Florida State. The, one way or another, they're going to have the boosters in line to have things ready to go so that they can, whether it's the Big Ten or the SEC, They can pull the trigger on it and say we're out of here at the end of the year, and not have to worry about dealing with the revenue discrepancies, because I think that's the big sticking point. Is it why would you sit on the sidelines and lose out on all this money when there's two conferences that are willing to let you in and give you a slice of the pie.
Well, that's the crazy thing, because there's two things that stood out to me. The ACC is so weak that Florida State has to dominate it. They have to. There's only three or four ranked teams now, three not counting them. They're all ranked in the 20s. The Pac-12, it didn't matter. They have almost the entire conference ranked, like in the top 20. Like not even like, oh, they're all like ranked 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. No, they have like, what, eight teams ranked? And they still imploded. Why? Because they didn't trust each other. They're like always talking behind each other's backs and like, oh yeah, maybe we should, maybe we hate these guys because they're losers. It's like, all right, well, if that's how you feel, you know? And then they all split up. So now they said like, take those eight teams and put them on like the Big Ten and the SEC. That's pretty much all the ranked teams in the country. Because like the Big 12 can't compete with that. The Big Ten itself only has a couple teams ranked, but they're all in the top 10 pretty much. So it's like, oh, okay, well, they have, it's the three big guys, and then everybody else is probably going to get stomped by them, hopefully. I hope Michigan doesn't have, because Michigan's one QB injury away from, like, a bad season, probably. So we'll hope that that holds. But I guess Penn State's in the same situation, though. Ohio State, who knows? We don't know what their quarterback's like. The SEC is kind of in the same situation where they have one top team, though. And then a couple contenders, but with Alabama losing, that's going to hurt like the off season, because they've also lost crossovers with Florida State. They lost crossovers with UNC. UNC went to overtime with App State. So like you can't even say that UNC is like a world-beating program when they killed South Carolina, right? Didn't they go to double overtime last weekend?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, we thought UNC, and I've been saying UNC is not like a world beater. Yeah, they have a great quarterback, or I guess not even a great. We don't know how good they are based on like the NFL projections. Their quarterback and Duke's quarterback supposed to be NFL worthy. That can get you, win you a few games. But in reality, I know Michigan had lost to App State a long time ago. They also beat Urban Meyer that year when he was at Florida. Just throwing that in there. But I will say that you shouldn't, if you have aspirations to win the ACC and make the playoffs, having an overtime win against App State kind of hurts your case, I would think, if you're comparing resumes with like a Penn State with the same record that only has a loss to Ohio State or Michigan, and then UNC with like no key wins. It's going to be tough to put them in, even if they are the ACC champs. When you're looking at things like, well, they beat Clemson. What's Clemson ranked now? 24th. Penn State would have had to have beat either Ohio State or Michigan in that scenario to get that nod. Like, I think you're kind of looking at where people are saying, well, the Big Ten's not going to get two teams in. I think right now the conferences that have the best chance are the Big Ten, just because all three top teams are ranked, or surprisingly, the Pac-12 as like a last hurrah, right? Hey guys, we're both in here, but we're both leaving. Like whatever two teams are on top, because it could right now it could be USC and Washington, and they both make the playoffs, and then they jump to the Big Ten next year. I think it's next year, right? So that's what we're looking at in terms of like college football powers, where all what Washington, UCLA, Oregon, and USC, they're all going to the Big Ten. They're all ranked. You're getting four ranked teams in the Big Ten for football. Then you have the Big 12 picking up Colorado, Utah, and then the other two ranked teams, Oregon State and Washington State, right there for the taking. They could easily elevate like the Mountain West or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Pac-12 just merge with the Mountain West Conference, and they just become, they just stay like the Pac-12 or whatever they name themselves. Someone said they might become like the Pac-14 or something, just to keep the Pacific logo thing. But to me, that would kind of work out for some of them, like Boise. They also said that right now they're not going to change the automatic qualifiers until something happens with the ACC. So if that never happens, then we're going to have six automatic qualifiers. So the Pac-14 or whatever could be the other qualifier automatically, right? Along with, like, say, the AAC or something. Because you have, in the new one, you have 6 automatic qualifiers. There was already a Power 5. Now we're going to have a Power 4. So you're going to have 2 teams from the lower conferences get in. It very well could be like Oregon State or Washington State every year. And how would that save their program, right? I think that would be a big boost. Because like, oh, I'm Arizona State. I went to the Big 12. Make the playoffs? Hell no. But we made some extra money. Like, but Washington State's making it every year now. It's like, yeah, I know. We're kind of jealous of them, right? We did abandon them, so can't be too mad. But like, there's going to be a team like that that was left behind that's in a good position to steal that auto bid. Because just based on the resources that they're having, although if they don't make it right away, they're going to lose that extra. They're going to lose that extra power or whatever.
But you brought up a good point earlier about Florida State needing to win out their schedule. And the way that they played against Southern Miss and LSU, I think you're right. They're primed for a run, and I don't think that they can even have a close game. I think they have to just blow the doors off everyone for the rest of the year if they're going to stay in a position to make the championship.
I'm not worried about the championship. I think at this point, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament where you make the Final Four, and that's going to be big for your program.
But I think you're right. But I also think if they have a nail biter against, you know, I don't even know who, you know, NC State or Louisville, and it goes down to like a double overtime, that'll come back to bite them. Even if they win the entire conference and everything else, I don't know that would be enough to get them in.
I just don't think the other conferences right now have a strong case to get 2 teams in because someone's always going to have a loss. Like I talk about the Big Ten potentially getting 2 teams in. They're going to have a loss. An undefeated Florida State, I don't care if they trestle it and they win every game by 1 score or like a field goal, right? Remember that year? 2002 where everyone was like, Miami's going to kill them. These guys are barely beating Purdue. They're barely winning every game. Doesn't matter. Just win them. if you go undefeated, you're in. Like, they're not going to leave Florida State out just because, like, even the metrics right now have them up there with Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, which Michigan is kind of like the Big Ten, and then Georgia's the placeholder for, like, the SEC champ, right? Those are just the 2 champs from the past 2 years. So you have the Big Ten champ, SEC champ, Florida State, and then whatever other team they're putting in there from, like, the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Because, like, yeah, we can pencil in, like, USC or whatever. But overall, like, even the playoff predicted right now, let's see what it's updated with. Oh, their FPI ones are ridiculous. They have, like, Texas up there. But Texas might even be the number one. But I just don't think, because, like, we were talking about lines. Right now, it would be Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Texas. Makes sense. The coaches pool has Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Ohio State. It's going to be tough for Ohio State to stay there if they lose to Michigan, unless USC and Texas both end up with 2 losses like last year. Texas, the thing that's hurt them, when we talked about the line, yeah, they're taking linemen from the SEC. They don't play pro style in the Big 12 still. So yeah, they can come into Alabama and like really blow them out, but it's tough to have the guys match up against like these spread offenses still in the Big 12. And it hasn't been kind to Texas, right? They've been losing to like Kansas and stuff. Heck, Texas couldn't even beat Maryland when they played a couple years ago. Same style of talent. But Sarkisian has to keep it together. There's nothing that tells me that Sark isn't going to have a couple meltdowns and they're going to win like 9 games. Like, I need to see it to believe it. That's why Penn State's been right there. They've just been like a quarterback play away, like, 1 long Michigan touchdown, 1 Ohio State block kick or whatever they won that one, or like the overturned interception at Happy Valley to lose to Ohio State. Like, it's always been like 1 play, and if their quarterback's actually going to be there, doesn't matter. Same with USC. Yeah, they've been struggling. They're still undefeated. What's going to happen when they have to play 7 other ranked teams in the Pac-12? Like, they could all beat each other up, and then they could be all ranked in the teens and not make the playoffs again. Maybe that's why they won out. That's why, like, the more teams that join the Big Ten, it's only naturally going to go back to doing some type of like regional divisions. And they have to be like, oh, I can't wait till I'm like in a division with like Illinois and stuff. It's going to be so great. Like, even like, because every time I try to draw up a map, there's always one division of like Iowa and Nebraska and Wisconsin where it's like that division, Nebraska should be able to step up and become that fourth pillar for the Big Ten, but maybe they never do. Heck, I can't believe that Fickell lost to Washington State, but am I surprised by it? No, because he's changing the entire program up, right? Going into the year, I would be like, oh, that's an easy win for Wisconsin. Now it's like, I told you, like, they're going to regret that Fickell thing. And people were saying like, oh, he's just holding on until Ryan Day leaves and then he'll be at Ohio State. If Fickell ends up like 6-6 at Wisconsin for a couple of years, there's no way he's hopping right to Ohio State. People would go insane. They don't even like losing to Michigan, and that's their only loss. Could you imagine if they hire a coach that's 6-6? Like, insanity.
Well, see, now everyone's in the running to try to land Deion Sanders.
Well, that's what I said. Like, LSU passed on him. West Virginia passed on him. Like, West Virginia, that one has to be kicking. Because I said early on, like, if you can bring talent in, it doesn't matter. Because then even your next coach is going to be successful. Like, Norvell and Harbaugh, they had to start from scratch. Right? Hoke had the talent, but it wasn't, like, the right fit for the Big Ten. I don't know what Willie Taggart was doing, but talent wasn't there when Norvell got there.
He didn't know either.
So it's like, all right, how are we going to get the talent there? Where some place like Tennessee, they were paying for talent. NCAA didn't care about it. But you're able to come right in and win, right? There's like a big difference. If you have the talent and you can win right away. I just don't know long term right now with the way these conferences and things are going. I think some of that talent from like Colorado where you're able to come in and win, Deion is probably going to be in a pretty good position because the Big 12, who's going to be outspending him? Right? Colorado invested money into him. Him to jump and be like, hey, we're going to be second fiddle to like Alabama or whatever, unless he goes to Alabama, right, where they can just get whoever they want. But that's going to be the issue with him. It's like the jobs that are open are usually always going to be second fiddle in the conference. The top job doesn't really ever open up. And if it does, it's rare. Because like if Ryan Day leaves, Ohio State's right there. You could say like Michigan's one of the top jobs, Penn State. Like maybe Penn State would take a run at them in the SEC. Like, is Georgia going to open anytime soon? Probably not. Alabama, they're going to open eventually, but wouldn't they take a run at Dabo? Or is Dabo falling so far that it won't matter? Because like Deion going to Clemson, that's not really going to move the needle for me, right? Because like, why not just stay at Colorado? You're going to be second fiddle to Florida State there.
Yeah.
So, like, what a job. Like, there's only a handful of jobs that are, like, pure blue bloods. Like, Notre Dame's not going to hire him. Could you imagine?
No.
So, it's like, that's too much over the top for them. That's why even, like, LSU had their chance. They wanted Brian Kelly instead. So, like, I'm finding it hard to believe that they would just reverse course and hire Deion. But crazier things have happened. Texas isn't going to want that. Maybe A&M. But again, you're playing like what, third, fourth fiddle at that point? Just stay at Colorado. Become like the next Dabo. All you take is for him to win one national championship with his son in 2 years. Or I don't even know how many years his son has left to play. But like this year, after this season, he can get whatever line transfers he wants, right? And that's all they need. I mean, at Florida State, look how they turned it around. So like you get the line transfers in, you're ready to rock. That's all they need. That's where some of the other schools, like North Carolina, that's why they have trouble. That's why Michigan had struggled with like Brady Hoke. They didn't have the talent to play to like put these other teams away. Now they do. Now they're just toying with them. And it's like, all right, let's keep this going. And the only way you can do that is to make the Final Four. Maybe in the 12-team playoffs, maybe the Final Four won't be like it is in college basketball. But I think, even if you're not able to win the national championship, if you're able to make the Final Four a couple years in a row, you'll just naturally become one of those top talent pullers. And I'm saying even in the realm of NIL. Because some schools are just going to keep paying, like A&M. But if they keep blowing the talent, eventually players aren't going to go there, right? It's like, hey, I can take a paycheck now, or I can go to one of these schools where, like Georgia or like Michigan the past couple years, where they're making the playoffs, they're getting like 10 people drafted every year. That seems like a better situation, right? Or I can go to A&M where they have like 3-4 players drafted. Maybe they have 8, I don't know. They have a handful of players drafted, but they don't do shit. It's like, where should I go? Like, where should I go? A&M's not even ranked anymore, are they?
No, they lost to Miami.
Yeah, so even Miami's a little bit different because they're like one hype train away. That's why going back, because I know you brought back a Florida State, I forgot to finish my thought there. But my thought, it's a dangerous game for Florida State that has recently had money troubles. I know they didn't vote for SMU, but you don't want them in the conference, man. You want to get out before they get rolling.
Well, I think it just showed exactly where they're lying. It's like they're in that mode of, we're not here. We're not supporting any of these decisions. You're having a hard enough time generating the money to pay them as it is.
Well, that's my thing. If SMU starts next year with the grant of rights or whatever, Florida State can't leave till like 2028, maybe, is what people are saying. That's 4 years. By year 2 or 3, SMU could have 2 A&M type classes where they pay for everybody, and then they're the top team in the ACC in no time. Or one of them, right? And so then Florida State's like, crap, SMU just has way more talent than us. It's going to be hard to beat. I've seen Michigan struggle with that at Ohio State. It took a while for Michigan to get, and it's not even equal talent yet, but it's closer. And then it's like, all right, now I feel good about some of our matchups, where if one school's like bringing in the heavy paychecks NIL style, it's going to be tough matchups.
Some of that big money spending, it doesn't necessarily generate wins either. Like, A&M has been throwing, you brought up a good point with A&M in some aspects, but it's not like they're taking those people and generating anything with it.
Well, that's because of the conference they're in. Like the other teams, like they're getting a top 10 recruiting class, but so are 3 or 4 other teams in that conference. That's why, like, it would be tough for, like, let's say Nebraska just had a couple years where they spent like that. Awesome. But like Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan are now entrenched in that talent. It's going to be hard for them to outspend, where in the ACC, we haven't had a team come in and just throw money around and really only have to compete with 2 teams. If that, Clemson's on the downslide. So in a year or two, they could have a better blue chip ratio than Clemson and possibly Florida State, depending on how like the end of the season and like transfers and stuff go. So if you become the top dog immediately, because like even A&M, yeah, they've had that number one recruiting class, but in terms of overall talent, they haven't been the top dog. They've always been like 3 or 4, where I want to see what will happen if SMU can pull it off and become that top dog. Does that elevate them to like wanted status too? Because like I've been saying all along, I don't think the Big Ten wants Clemson. I think they want into Texas. People have been floating around TCU. What if it's Florida State and SMU instead? Wouldn't that be weird? There's like, yeah, we'll bring you guys around, right? We'll get some big money schools. Because heck, the Big Ten could even take Miami and Florida State and TCU and SMU and kind of just, well, I know SMU and TCU don't really fit, but if A&M and Texas both say no, and maybe they wouldn't want to go the Texas Tech route, that gets you 2 schools in the state for recruiting, and that might save Nebraska. And if they've already thrown money around, let's say they bring SMU in and they're off an ACC championship, and TCU's coming in off a Big 12 championship and maybe another 2 playoff appearances or something, that's going to open some eyes, right? But we won't know until we see how this transition goes. They could very well not raise the money anymore. because fossil fuels are kind of down, and then they're just a bust. I don't know. It's going to be weird because, like I said, they're on their own. Notre Dame's kind of been on their own, and it didn't stop them from coming in and making the ACC championship in their first year. SMU doesn't have that talent. What are their rankings or what are their record right now? I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what conference are they in. Are they in Conference USA? No. They're not in the MAC. I don't even know where they are. Can I find them? Are they in the AAC? Yeah, they are. They're 1-1 right now. But like I said, once you're in the ACC, that kind of gives your booster something to like kind of spend towards. They lost to Oklahoma 28-11. If they beat TCU, like that gives like credibility to the ACC immediately, right? If they bring in a football team that's winning 10 games. I don't know what SMU has been doing, but could it mean a return to like their football glory? Possibly. We'll see. I had one other thing that I wanted to bring up just because it's like the weirdest story I've ever heard. But Mel Tucker, and I know we're out of the show and I don't want to stay long because I'm exhausted. Mel Tucker, Michigan State's coach, is in the middle of a sexual, I don't think it's like a sexual assault, but some type of sexual inappropriate behavior investigation at Michigan State. The timeline, I've seen a couple of timelines. The USA Today one, and there were a couple other ones. I'm kind of like merging them together. It seems like this investigation started maybe last year, like late in the year, in like December. It might be related to Title IX. I haven't seen confirmation or denial from the university in that regard. They've been gathering evidence. There was some type of hearing April or May-ish around this year. And then there was going to be an official court case, I think it was either October 5th or 6th or somewhere around there, coming up. In the meantime, someone had to have been from the Michigan State side, leaked this information, because who else would know about it, right, other than the accuser? And she came out and said that it wasn't her, because she wanted to go to court to clear her side of things, because Mel Tucker was saying it was consensual. She's saying that it's not. She has proof. She wants to go to the hearing in October and clear her name. In the meantime, USA Today said that Mel Tucker changed his statement, but he has call logs or something that might prove his case. So we really don't know how this is going to go. But I will say that it's pretty interesting that it most likely leaked from Michigan State. Not a lot of media are saying that. But if it wasn't her and it wasn't him, it had to have been someone internal. And I wonder if they're just trying to cut his contract. Because that contract is massive. And Michigan State seems like they're a mess right now. I mean, he could very well beat Michigan. Heck, who knows what their record's going to be? I think they're still undefeated right now. I mean, I don't spend my days looking at Michigan State in the standings because, like, I don't really care about them. But I will say that I think that they won their two cupcakes. Yeah, they're 2-0. So it's not like that's what's kind of odd to me. Yeah, they played two cupcakes. They play Washington this weekend. Mel Tucker suspended for that game. That is a gigantic game. It's at home. Washington's coming in. You would think you'd want your coach there, right? I mean, I don't know.
One would think.
Unless there's some other things going on. But unless a leaker comes out, which I would definitely cover that on the show if I'm wrong on this. I just don't know how internal information would leak out unless it was someone on the Michigan State side. And I mean, not even speculating. Mel Tucker has a gigantic contract. They were not good last year. If he is at fault here, this could give them a way to clear that contract with cause, right? so they wouldn't have to pay him. He stands to lose like somewhere up to like $80 million. Because that was like a $95 million contract for 10 years. He's only been coaching it for like, what, 1 year? I think. So, I mean, he's like around 80, 85 million. He stands to lose from this. Because some people were saying maybe he leaked it as like a way so that he could fight it for him like to stand up and divorce court or whatever and not lose his half. But like, you're going to lose a lot more than half, buddy, if you're losing $85 million. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's like the weirdest story that broke on a football Saturday that I have so many people texting me because I could get text messages, but I couldn't read. So I'm like, tell me the details. I need to know. It's like a weird story that he was like on a Zoom call and he was like inappropriately touching himself during the Zoom call. And I'm like thinking that doesn't happen. Right. It's like, it's almost like an impossible story that you would think would be
Seinfeld.
Yeah. It's like a Seinfeld thing. Like George Costanza, like, was I not supposed to do that?
I thought my camera was off.
I know you always see those and like, it's always like, get a camera cover, buddy, get a camera cover and just get in the habit of always closing it. Closing it just in case, turning your mics off, muting them. But I don't know. I really don't know. He said that it was a sham investigation, that it was consensual. They're suspended him without pay. They're saying it's a harassment case. I just looked it up to make sure I had the right term. But I don't know. That's the weirdest story. I figured I'd throw it in at the end. I just don't even know what to say about it. But we'll see. That was the biggest Big Ten game this weekend. Because if a Big Ten win over Washington, that hurts the Pac-12 case, right? If Washington gets in and Michigan State ends up like with 7 or 6 wins. Now, if Washington kills Michigan State, then like I don't even know. Can you fire a coach like 2 years into a contract without cause? Like, I feel like you just end up paying $80 million. So Michigan State could just be hamstrung here, but we'll see what happens. A lot of good football to play. Michigan still has, was it Bowling Green? So like they have another easy game before they get into the Big Ten slate. So hopefully things keep getting tightened up. NFL, hopefully Jordan Love keeps shining out for me. And that's pretty much all I have. You have anything else you want to add, Matt?
No, thank you for supporting the show and continuing to tune in.
Yeah, definitely. I like whenever I hear people saying like, yeah, I was listening to your show. So definitely write in, send me some DMs or something. I think that my DMs and stuff are always open. If you have any more information and I'm wrong on the case, please send it to me because that case is such a, just like a weird, hey, this should be easy to prove / disprove, you would think. And it's like, all right, well, what is it? Like a year long investigation to me is just insane. Cause like that's your livelihood for pretty much both people. Right. Cause she was given presentations at the university on sexual abuse. So if she's involved with a coach, her career's done.
Yeah.
If he is harassing her, his career's done. So someone's career is done. That's like to me, and it's taken so long for it to happen that, I mean, he's actively working on campus. You would think that would be a red flag if he was guilty, and she's been working with other universities. So I think that would be a red flag for them. I think they would want to know what the result of this investigation is. But not the kind of thing, like that was more of like an off-season thing. That's why I was so shocked that it's like almost like an Urban Meyer. Remember when his started right before college or right before the season started?
Yeah.
This is like week 2 or 3. Yeah, I guess it was week 2. So, like I said, thanks for listening. Make sure you're watching Big Ten football to get the TV contract up. And write to Florida State. Tell them to go to the Big Ten. And we will see you next week.